ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। I just repeat Shanti Mantra, etc. Just for other people to come and join, people who are still waiting to join the Gita class. Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha Mokam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Krupatamaham Vande Paramananda Madhavam यम् ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्र रुद्र मरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यम् सामगाः ध्यानावस्थित तद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यम् योगिनो यस्यान्तम् न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः। राजविद्या राजगुह्ययोगो नाम नवमोऽध्यायः। वी कवर्ड 8 वर्सेस, I think 9th chapter. As I said, this 9th chapter also, there is a beautiful presentation of the concept of Ishvara, that Bhagavan for us is nothing but two aspects together constitute Ishvara. This para prakriti and apara prakriti, two aspects constitute Bhagavan. And para prakriti is the unchanging swarupam of Bhagavan, the whole, is the very truth, which is pure consciousness, pure knowledge. And the apara prakriti is nothing but the inseparable power of reality, is apara prakriti. And here Bhagavan says, understanding these two prakritis of Bhagavan is actually understanding Ishvara, the whole. Understanding the two inseparable prakritis, para and apara prakritis, is actually understanding Bhagavan, the whole. And Krishna himself calls it understanding of para prakriti is vijnanam, understanding of apara prakriti is jnanam. Bhagavan said that he would be teaching this too in this two prakritis in this chapter. We saw the ninth, I think sixth verse. Yatha kashasthito nityam. Am I correct? Okay, please read.
We were looking at ninth.
Okay. Yatha kashasthito nityam vayus sarvatra gomahan tatha sarvani bhutani matsthani tyupadharaya sarva bhutani kaunteya prakritim yanti mamikam kalpakshaye punastani kalpado visrajamyaham. So Bhagavan is saying, all the beings at the end of each and every cycle resolve into Bhagavan's prakriti. Again, the beginning of the another cycle, Bhagavan brings them into manifestation. We saw that already. ప్రకృతిం స్వామవష్టభ్య విసృజామి పునః పునః భూత గ్రామమిమం కృత్స్నం అవశం ప్రకృతేర్వశాత్. సో హౌ భగవాన్ హి సేస్ ప్రకృతేహే వశాత్ రిజార్టింగ్ టు భగవాన్స్ అపరా ప్రకృతి. Bhagavan says, Bhagavan creates, means aham visrajami, I create punaha punaha, I create again and again, means again and again there is manifestation of the universe, again and again the whole universe becomes unmanifest. This is complete, as this is a something happening constantly, continuously, beginninglessly, endlessly. It has been, this is how the Jagat is. It becomes manifest, again it becomes unmanifest. Therefore Krishna says this, I create again and again. Punaha punaha visrajami. What is bhuta, imam bhuta gramam. This entire multitude of beings, the innumerable countless beings, I create again and again. Which means there's no choice on the part of the beings. So prakritim swam avashtabhya. Being endowed with this prakriti, choicelessly, repeatedly, I create again and again this innumerable countless beings which constitute the whole. This much you have already seen.
Nacha mam tani karmani nibadhanti dhananjaya.
This is the new lesson, I think. Nacha mam tani karmani nibadhanti dhananjaya.
ఉదాసీనవదాసీనం అసక్తం తేషు కర్మసు నచ మాం తాని కర్మాణి నిబధ్నంతి ధనంజయ. ఉదాసీనవదాసీనం అసక్తం తేషు కర్మసు నచ మాం తాని కర్మాణి నిబధ్నంతి ధనంజయ. ఉదాసీనవదాసీనం అసక్తం తేషు కర్మసు.
సి హే ధనంజయ, నచ మాం నిబధ్నంతి కర్మాణి మాం నిబధ్నంతి, మాం న నిబధ్నంతి. యూజువలీ వాట్ హ్యాపన్స్, దర్ ఇస్ అ జనరల్ లా ఆఫ్ కర్మ దట్ ఎవ్రీ ఎనీ కర్మ డన్ మెంటలీ, ఓరలీ ఆర్ ఫిజికలీ డెఫినెట్లీ ప్రొడ్యూసెస్ ఫలం. వన్ ది ఫలం ఇస్ దేర్, ది ఫలం హ్యాస్ టు బి ఎగ్జాస్టెడ్. So that helplessly having to exhaust the phalam, choicelessly having to exhaust the phalam is bondage. In order to exhaust the phalam, again we need a given upadhis also. Therefore, being born again with the appropriate upadhis in order to exhaust, experience punya papam, as a result of the karma is inevitable. Therefore, samsara is inevitable. So performance of karma is also inevitable because it is desire impelled, because as kartrutvam. And once karma is done, result is inevitable. And once result is there, exhaustion of karma phalam is also, result is also inevitable. Therefore, rebirth is inevitable. Therefore, sukha-dukkha anubhava is inevitable, which is a bondage. which is called bandha, nibandha or bandha, bondage. So what happens? Whereas here, Bhagavan says repeatedly, I create punaha punaha. Create means what? It is beginningless. That is why we can never make a question, when did the first creation happen? When did Bhagavan create the universe first? Which is the beginning of creation. You can never question the beginning of creation. You can never question the ending of creation also. Ending of creation in a sense, when will the creation stop? You can never ask, because it is endless. Because it's a natural process, it's the cyclic process, is naturally happening continuously. So, Swam Prakritim Avashtabhya Punaha Punaha Visurjami means we cannot talk about the beginning of the creation or ending of the creation. This is continuous. It's a beginningless, endless process. That's why it's a cyclic process. The universe, the unmanifest becoming manifest, and the manifest becoming unmanifest is a beginningless, endless, continuous cyclic process. So, Swam Prakritim Avashtabhya Punaha Punaha Visrajami. Punaha Punaha, when Bhagavan says again and again, means the repetition. Actually implies emphasis. The emphasis here, repeating punaha punaha, actually emphasizes this creation becoming manifest, becoming unmanifest, is a beginningless, endless cyclic process. And when does it happen? This universe becoming manifest, universe becoming unmanifest, this cyclic process does not happen in time. Please remember this fact. The cyclic process of universe becoming manifest, universe becoming unmanifest, does not happen in time. Why we say it does not happen in time? Because the time factor itself is within the realm of this process. Time factor itself is within this process. When you say the whole jagat becomes manifest, means the time factor itself becomes manifest along with the universe. That's why, in fact, time factor is not separable from the whole manifest universe. Isn't it? The time factor is part of the manifest universe. And part of the universe becomes unmanifest. The time becomes unmanifest, time becomes manifest as part of the universe. That is why this cyclic process of becoming manifest, unmanifest does not happen in time. So, what happens is, it's very difficult, it is impossible for us to discuss anything which is beyond the concept of time. even we cannot even discuss about the time factor. So we cannot discuss about this space. Because for us to create something, there must be space already. Whereas space itself, space and time and space, both these factors are part of the universe, which becomes manifest and unmanifest. So discussing the discussion of time and space also becomes difficult, because it is something which doesn't happen, which is part of the universe, which becomes manifest and unmanifest repeatedly in cyclic process, which doesn't happen in time. We can discuss anything which happens within the realm of time and space. We cannot discuss about the time and space itself, because it is part of this universe, which becomes manifest and unmanifest beginninglessly and endlessly. That's why this is a very unique phenomenon. So Bhagavan has to make it clear by using this expression punaha punaha. Now, having said this, if we look at it as Bhagavan's action, or Bhagavan creates everything, aham vasajami means I create, he says, which means there is a karma. Does it bind Bhagavan? No. That is the difference we have to understand here. Nacha mam tani karmani nibadhanti dhananjaya udasina vadasinam asaktam teshu karmasu. He says, hey Dhananjaya, tani karmani mam na nibadhananti. Badhnati, nibadhnati binds. In plural is nibadhananti, janati, jananti, like that, nibadhnati, nibadhananti, plural. Na nibadhananti, do not bind those karmani, those actions, tani karmani, those actions do not bind me. Usually karma binds, but here this action, these actions, those actions, tani karmani mam nibadhananti. But Bhagavan says, and how they do not bind? Because udasinavat asinam asaktam teshu karmasu, in those actions, teshu karmasu, in those actions, how Bhagavan is udasinavat asinaha. Udasinaha means indifferent. Udasinavat, vat means like. Udasinaha, indifferent person. Udasinavat, like an indifferent person. Teshu karmasu, in those actions. Asinaha, udasinavat asinaha. Bhagavan is udasinavat asinaha. Asinaha means one who is, one who remains. Bhagavan remains like an indifferent person in those actions. So he says, udasinavat asinaha, also asaktaha. Asaktaha means uninvolved, unattached, unassociated, unconnected, uninvolved. So asaktam, I am uninvolved. Asaktaha, I am uninvolved. I'm like an indifferent person. Therefore, Udasinavat Asinam, Asaktam, Teshu Karmasu, Asaktam, Udasinavat Asinam, Mam, Tani Karmani, Nani Buddhanti. Hey Arjuna, those actions do not bind me because I'm uninvolved in them. Even though I'm there, without me nothing is happening. In me, all everything is happening. I'm there. In me, all these are happening. I'm very much there in all the actions. At the same time, I'm uninvolved. Therefore, I am like an indifferent person. Udasinavat asinaha aham. Asaktaha aham. Therefore, they do not bind me. Okay, what Bhagavan says here? This is an important aspect of Ishvara. This is an important feature of Ishvara. It is possible for us to have a doubt. How can Bhagavan do this act of creating? And how can Bhagavan still be free from bondage? Karma phalam. So Bhagavan says, Punaha Punaha Visrujami, I create again and again, means I am the creator of the universe. If Bhagavan says, I am the creator of the universe, I create, Aham Visrujami, which sounds as though Bhagavan is involved in the act of creating. It sounds as the Bhagavan is involved in the act of creating. I do this, I cook this. When you say it, actually we are involved in those actions. Bhagavan says, Punaha Punaha Aham Visrujami, I create again and again. It sounds as the Bhagavan is very much involved in this act of creation, creating. Which Bhagavan seems to be performing an action. The creation of the universe is an action. Because Bhagavan is the creator of the universe. So Bhagavan also must have doership. Bhagavan must be the doer. Bhagavan must have kartrutvam. If Bhagavan has kartrutvam, because Bhagavan says, I am the creator of the universe. Bhagavan is the creator of the universe. Therefore, Bhagavan is involved in the act of creating. So Bhagavan must have kartrutvam, doership. If Bhagavan has kartrutvam, Bhagavan must have bhoktrutvam also, the enjoyership also. If Bhagavan has a kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam, Bhagavan also must go through what? Bhagavan also must be bound. Bhagavan also must go through samsara. Then Bhagavan himself has to go through samsara. And how can Bhagavan free us from samsara, from bondage of samsara? Therefore, it is made very clear. Those actions do not bind me because I'm uninvolved, because I remain in all those actions uninvolved. Like an indifferent person. Udasinavat ahamasinaha. Which means, Bhagavan is not the karta, Bhagavan is not the bhokta. There is no kartrutvam on the part of Bhagavan. There is no bhoktrutvam on the part of Bhagavan. Therefore, there is no samsara, there is no bondage on the part of Bhagavan. everything is happening in Bhagavan, of course, the very presence of Bhagavan. Without Bhagavan, nothing is possible. At the same time, Bhagavan is not involved in anything. Therefore, Bhagavan, there's no such a thing called doership or enjoyership. Therefore, there's no bondage also for Bhagavan. Therefore, from the standpoint of Bhagavan, Bhagavan is not the creator. Bhagavan is not the enjoyer. Bhagavan is not the sustainer. Bhagavan is not the resolver. Bhagavan has no kartrutvam, there is no bhoktrutvam. But without Bhagavan in the form of truth, there cannot be creation, there cannot be sustenance, there cannot be resolution. Therefore, from the standpoint of the universe, the creator, sustainer, resolver status, qualifications are attributed to Bhagavan in the form of the very truth. See, without the water, there cannot be waves and ocean. But the water is not the creator of the ocean. From the standpoint of the ocean, we can say the water is the cause of the ocean. Therefore, being the cause of without whose presence, ocean is not possible. Therefore, from the standpoint of the ocean, we can say the creator of the, as the cause of the ocean, the creator of the ocean is water. Sustainer of the ocean is water. The one in whom all the waves resolve is the water. Even from the standpoint of the waves which constitute the whole ocean, water as a source, water as the cause, can be given the title of creator and the sustainer and the resolver of the ocean, the waves. Similarly here, from the standpoint of the beings which constitute the whole jagat, the creator status, creator, sustainer, resolver statuses, qualifications are attributed to Bhagavan. There is no such ahankara. There is no I sense on the part of Bhagavan. Therefore, there is no kartrutvam, there is no doership, there is no enjoyership on the part of Bhagavan as the truth. From the standpoint of the truth, Bhagavan as the truth, Bhagavan is neither the creator nor the destroyer. There's no doership and jaship, there's no bondage. Therefore, no action can be attributed to Bhagavan. Therefore, no result also can be attributed to Bhagavan. See, without the water, there cannot be ocean, there cannot be waves. From the standpoint of the waves and which constitute the ocean, we can say, what is that without which these waves cannot exist at all? Therefore, we see the water as the cause of the waves from the standpoint of the waves. Then we can say, as the cause, the creator of the ocean waves is water. The sustainer of the waves is water. The one in whom the waves resolve is also water. Which means, we cannot attribute the act of creating, creation of the waves, sustenance of the waves, or the resolution of the waves, action cannot be attributed to the water. Similarly here, Bhagavan as the very abstract, formless truth, reality, without whose presence the world cannot even exist. The world cannot become manifest, cannot become unmanifest. So is here this action cannot be attributed to Bhagavan. The result also cannot be attributed to Bhagavan. Therefore, Bhagavan says, Hey Dhananjaya. Hey, Dhananjaya is, again, Bhagavan addresses Arjuna as Dhananjaya. You came across before also. Tani karmani mam na nibadhanti. Those actions, what actions? The act of creating, the act of sustenance, the act of resolution. They seem to be actions. Really, you know, because there is Bhagavan is very much present in everything, because of whose presence these are possible. At the same time, Bhagavan is uninvolved. Bhagavan is untainted, untouched, uninvolved. There is no kartrutvam or bhaktrutvam. Therefore, there is no such a thing called bondage on the part of Bhagavan. Why there is no bondage? Because there is asakti, uninvolvement. Because there is no doership or enjoyership. But Bhagavan, those actions do not bind Bhagavan. So from the standpoint of Bhagavan, Bhagavan is not the creator, not sustainer, not anything. Bhagavan is the very truth in whose presence, because of whose presence, everything happens. The standpoint of the universe, the creator is Bhagavan, sustainer is Bhagavan, the one in whom everything resolves is Bhagavan. That's why three functional names also are attributed to only Bhagavan, as Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. Okay. Maya dhyakshena prakritihi suyate sacharacharam hetunanena kaunteya jagadviparivartate. Maya dhyakshena prakritihi suyate sacharacharam hetunanena kaunteya jagadviparivartate. Tate maya dhyakshena prakritihi suyate sacharacharam hetunanena kaunteya jagadviparivartate. So Bhagavan continues to explain. Suyate means su is the dhatu here, delivers, means creates, brings into existence. Creates means brings into existence. Bringing something into existence means what? Bringing the unmanifest into manifestation. Bringing the unmanifest into manifestation is creating. So suyate means brings the unmanifest into manifestation, which means creates. Suyate literally means what? Creates, delivers. Creates means what? Delivers means what? Bringing the unmanifest into manifestation. So who creates? Here, prakritihi suyate. Prakritihi subject, verb of is suyate. Prakritihi suyate. Prakriti creates. But the power alone brings the power of knowing brings the unmanifest universe into manifestation. The power of knowing brings the unmanifest universe into manifestation. We mean the power of universe creates. And prakritihi suyate. But can prakriti create by herself. No. For the Prakriti to bring the unmanifest into manifestation, which is the power. And what is the source of the power? That is Bhagavan, the very truth. Bhagavan, the source, the truth is the source of the power, without whose presence power cannot even exist. See, there cannot be power of burning without the fire. The power of burning is fire. At the same time, fire is distinct from the power of burning. Why distinct? Because you can see sometimes fire sitting quietly without burning anything. Which means the power of burning cannot exist independently by itself without the fire, without its source. At the same time, there is the power of burning. Similarly, this power of bringing the unmanifest into manifestation, the creative power, nothing but the unmanifest power of the truth, is this power alone creates. But the power by itself cannot create. Because the power itself is dependent on its source, the power, which is Bhagavan here. Therefore, he says, Maya Adhyakshena. Adhyakshaha means by me, the president. By me, Adhyaksha means president. By me, the president means it's only because of me, Maya. Due to my presence, because of me, because of my presence as the presiding principle, because of my presence as the presiding principle, presiding truth, the source, the presiding source of the power, this power creates. The power brings the universe into unmanifest into manifestation. Maya adhyakshena prakritihi suyate. What does it create? Sacharacharam. Sacharacharam. Sacharacharam means together we say the universe of mobile and immobile beings. The universe of objects and beings. Chara sa characharam jagat. Characharam means the world of mobile and immobile beings, the world of inanimate and animate beings. This characharam. So sa characharam prakritihi suyate. This power, the power of knowing, the inseparable, inexplicable power of the reality, which is seen as Bhagavan here, alone brings the unmanifest into manifestation, creates prakritihi sacharacharam suyate. But for this power to be, to create this universe, the power itself is dependent on its source, for its very existence. Therefore, Bhagavan says, Maya adhyakshena. Due to my presence as the presiding principle, as the source of the power, this power prakriti creates this universe of animate, inanimate, mobile and immobile beings. Hetuna anena jagad viparivartate. He Kaunteya was son of Kunti, Jagad Viparivartate. There are the two prefixes, Vi and Pari. Vartate is the verb. Vartate exists. Parivartate repeats, changes. But Viparivartate means revolves. Viparivartate revolves. Jagad viparivartate. This universe revolves. because of this particular reason. Anena hetuna, due to this reason, because of this reason, anena hetuna, etad hetu, this is the cause, this is the reason. Why? And the answer question was, why the universe revolves? Anena hetuna, due to this reason, jagad viparivartate, the universe revolves. Which means, it is the, suppose we ask, who illumines all the opaque things here? The power of illumination. There is power of illumination. There is power of illumination. Prakashana shaktihi, prakashaka shaktihi. Illumines everything. Prakashana shaktihi, the power of illumination illumines everything here. All the opaque things. But can there be power of illumining without the light? The power of illumining is inseparable from the light. So light is like the presiding principle, adhyakshaha, president. And because of whose presence, the power, inseparable power of illumining, illumines everything. Because of which everything comes to light. So Bhagavan says here, prakritihi sacharacharam suyate, subject, object, verb. Prakritihi sacharacharam suyate. Prakriti creates this universe. But because of my presence as the presiding principle, maya adhyakshena, anena hetuna jagat viparivartate, due to this reason, the universe revolves. So Bhagavan explains here how asaktaha, remaining uninvolved, remaining unattached, remaining untainted, unattached, remaining uninvolved, without any identity, so remaining uninvolved, remaining untainted, remaining unattached, remaining without any identity is actually nothing but being like the witness. Is being a sakshi. So being uninvolved is being the witness. Being without any identity is being the witness, being the sakshi. So Bhagavan actually makes it very clear what is being a sakshi. Which means there is no will involved on the part of Bhagavan. It's not a will involved action. Creating, sustaining or resolving is not a will involved action. Like how, when you say the power of illumining illumines the everything, all the opaque means, the illumining is not an action, it's not a will involved action. Then will, what is illumining then? Is this the very nature of the light, swarupam of the light? It means the light is endowed with this power of illumining, which is its very swarupam, which is not an will involved action. Similarly here, Bhagavan, the swarup of Bhagavan is knowing, and the seeing is creating. Creating is bringing the unmanifest into manifestation. There's no involvement, there's no attachment, there's no identity, and this not having any identity, without any identity, without involvement, without any kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam, without involvement, because there's no will involved, means it's called, it's remaining a sakshi. Therefore, what Bhagavan says is, in the very, because of my presence, as the source of the power, the power is involved in the function of bringing everything into manifestation. Maya adhyakshena, so I'm the president, means as the presiding principle in my presence, the whole jagat is prakriti, brings jagat into manifestation. Which means it is purely because of the presence of the very reality. Sannidhi matrena is the mere presence of the reality is enough for this. Anena hetuna, because of this reason, due to this reason, there's a continuous, the world revolves continuously. Just the presence, merely because of the presence of Bhagavan in the home of the truth, the inexplicable, this order itself is there, and then the whole jagat, the scene of universe becoming manifest, is happening. Jagat viparivartate. Okay. Avajananti mamudhaha manushim tanumashritam param bhavam ajanantaha mama bhuta maheshwaram. Avajananti mamudhaha manushim tanumashritam param bhavam ajanantaha mama bhuta maheshwaram. Avajananti mamudhaha manushim tanumashritam param bhavam ajanantaha mama bhuta maheshwaram. Avajananti mamudhaha manushim tanumashritam param bhavam ajanantaha mama bhuta maheshwaram. So Bhagavan says, this is how, so Bhagavan essentially is, Bhagavan is only a qualification, a title. Ishwaraha is only the title attributed to the very formless abstract reality, which is of the nature of knowing, and this nature of knowing is looked upon as the power of the reality, Shaktihi. But not knowing who Bhagavan is essentially, people mistake. Krishna says here, Mama Param Bhavam Ajanantaha. Look at the second line. Param Bhavam Ajanantaha. Mama Param Bhavam Ajanantaha. Janantaha knowing. Now this Jananta Shatru Anta Shabda. Like Janati knows. Janan. Janata Shabda, then Janan, Janantau, Janantaha. Knowing. Ajanantaha, not knowing. Ajanantaha, not knowing what? Parambhavam. Not knowing my higher nature. Mama parambhavam ajanantaha. Not knowing Bhagavan's higher nature. That how Bhagavan, not knowing Bhagavan's para prakritihi, higher nature, Bhagavan is actually, essentially, the very formless abstract reality, which is of the nature of knowing, which is endowed with the power of knowing, not knowing Bhagavan's higher nature. Parampara, parambha means para prakritim, param prakritim parambhavam ajanantaha, not knowing Bhagavan's higher nature, essential nature. What Bhagavan is essentially not knowing. Mudaha mam manushim tanum ashitam avajananti. People who are ignorant, they be naturally who are confused to deluded. See, ignorance is there means the delusion will be there. So being deluded because of ignorance, of not knowing what I am essentially, not knowing my essential nature, higher nature. Avajananti. Avajananti means, look, see, janati, janitaha jananti, no. When you add the prefix ava, it becomes people look down upon. People look down upon Bhagavan as the one. What a manushim, manushim, tanum, ashritam, mam, avajananti. People look down upon Bhagavan as the one. Who was assumed, ashrita means was assumed, was taken, manushim tanum, was taken a human form, was assumed a human form. So not knowing my essential nature, higher nature, para prakritihi, not knowing that Bhagavan is essentially nothing but the truth, which is of the nature of knowing, not knowing Bhagavan's higher nature, people, because of their ignorance, being confused and deluded, mistake Bhagavan to be the one who was taken, was assumed a human form. When they look down, people look down upon Bhagavan, the confused, deluded people, due to ignorance, look down upon Bhagavan as the Bhagavan, as the one who has taken, assumed a human form. Manushim tanum ashritam mam mudaha avajananti. Why? Mama parambhava janantaha. Again, bhuta maheshwaram. Bhuta maheshwara, not knowing Bhagavan's higher nature, as the Bhuta Maheshwara, Bhutana Maheshwara, as the great Lord of all beings, Bhutanam Sarvesham Bhutanam Mahanishwara. Not knowing Bhagavan as the very truth, as the essence, Bhagwan is the source of the truth, source of all the power. Not Mahavir, Bhagwan as the great ruler of all beings, great lord of all the beings. Not knowing higher nature, being ignorant, being deluded, people look down upon Bhagwan as the one who has assumed human form. So Mama Bhuta Maheshwaram Param Bhavam Ajanantaha Mudaha Mam Manushim Tanum Ashitam Avajananti. So in this verse, even the Bhagwan finished discussing his nature, Swarupam. But here he concludes, revealing the fact that Bhagwan is, already Bhagwan made very clear, Bhagwan is, there's no kartrutvam or bhoktrutvam on the part of Bhagwan, as the very truth. Bhagwan is free from bondage. Bhagwan has no samsara. Bhagwan has no birth or death. Bhagwan is not the creator or anything, a destroyer. In fact, there's not, the whole universe is Bhagwan. Now, but not knowing Bhagwan's essential nature, people mistake Bhagwan to assumed the human form. Even what is the final understanding should be here? If Bhagwan is not the creator, not the destroyer, not the one who resolves, Bhagwan is not involved in any action. Creating or sustaining or resolving is not, are not actions. There's no kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam. Bhagwan is free from bondage means Bhagwan is not the creator. Therefore, there's no way of criticizing Bhagwan as the creator of our problems, creator of our confusions, creator of our samsara, creator of our pains. Which means Bhagavan does not use his will to punish us or bless us. Okay, there's no punishing and blessing is not Bhagavan's will involved action. If that's not Bhagavan's will involved action, Bhagavan are the creator, then the question here should come, what is the cause of our samsara? What is the cause of our going, our experience, our going through these paths of opposites? Why there is something called suffering in the world? Why there is misery in the world? Why there is fear in the world? Why there is pain in the world? If the question comes, this is called, we say, vidhihi. Vidhihi is called a destiny. Vidhihi. Fate. Which means, whatever suffering we go through, we have now, is our own swayam krita aparadha. Swayam krita aparadha means it is in we ourselves have created our own suffering. We have brought our own suffering. How have we brought our own suffering? Again, just having the notion, I am the karta, means having entertained the notion that I am a karta. In the past, we did entertain the notion of being the doer, the aham karta. Remaining as the doer in the past, when we perform actions, there is kartrutvam on our part, because of which very action is possible. And once there is kartrutvam, there's an action, then naturally there must be later on, once first we are there's a kartrutvam, then later becomes the bhoktrutvam. When the karma is done with the doership, naturally there will be result, and result has to be exhausted, then there is also bhoktrutvam. So being a karta in the past makes one a bhokta in the present. Therefore, Bhagavan is not responsible for what we are going through in our lives. If Bhagavan is not responsible for what I am going through in my life, then there is no need to worship Bhagavan. The question can come. Whether we worship Bhagavan, we don't worship Bhagavan, whether I believe in Bhagavan, I do not believe in Bhagavan, I accept Bhagavan, I don't accept Bhagavan, going through paths of opposites, going through pains and pleasures, the suffering is inevitable in the world for everybody. Everybody has, the non-believer and the believer, for everybody there is experience of paths of opposites, which means then what is the use of worshipping Bhagavan and praying to Bhagavan? That's why it's very important to understand here the significance of worship, the efficacy of prayer, the value of values, concept of God. It's very important to understand this. Then without blaming Bhagavan, criticizing Bhagavan, condemning Bhagavan, understanding Bhagavan as the whole, and Bhagavan, because there's the very truth in the, because of whose presence everything is happening, then Bhagavan as an order, we understand even worship as a karma, as a punya karma, which helps to neutralize the parabdha, neutralize the punya papams, for preparing mind for the knowledge.
Swamiji, can we explain manushim?
Yeah, manushim tanum. See, tanuhu is a form.
Yeah.
And the form of a human is manushi. Manushyasya tanuhu, manushi tanuhu. Manushyasya tanuhu, manushi tanuhu. Anything pertaining to manushya is manushi. Manusha or manushi. The grammar part I'll do it on Thursday classes. Before, Bhagavan's para prakriti is discussed until this 10th verse. In 11th verse, Bhagavan is actually presenting the cause of samsara. The problems we go through in our lives is not because of Bhagavan's creation, not because of Bhagavan. The problems are our own karma phalam. The suffering is purely because we are not knowing what we are searching for is timeless, and we are searching for the timeless happiness from the time-bound world. We are searching for timeless happiness in the time-bound world. We are searching for permanent happiness from the impermanent world. This inappropriate desire, inappropriate expectation, is the cause of our samsara. If understanding Bhagavan's Paraprakriti and Aparaprakriti, understanding Bhagavan as a whole, will help us correct this problem, that way we can free ourselves from bondage. So not understanding the Paraprakriti, higher nature, the ordinary, naturally being ignorant, people take to resort to the human form, which means mistaking the human form as the real form. Suppose Bhagavan Krishna is there and he is teaching Arjuna like any other teacher. And to teach, Bhagavan also needs Upadhi as Krishna's physical body, everything. So that they mistake that human form as the real form. This is not the real form. This is pure because of ignorance. Therefore, seeing beyond the physical form, seeing the essential nature of Bhagavan, understanding will help us resolve this problem. Mogha shamogha karmanaha mogha jnana vichetasaha rakshasimasurim chaiva prakritim mohinim shritaha mogha shamogha karmanaha mogha jnana vichetasaha rakshasimasurim chaiva prakritim mohinim shritah mogha shamogha karmanah mogha jnana vichetasah rakshasimasurim chaiva prakritim mohinim shritah. So Bhagavan for us is actually the very truth, the very existence in the form of pure consciousness, and there is no power outside of this truth, and which is the attributeless essential nature of the Lord. So when we do not understand this fact, the consequence will be this. What is this? Krishna says in 12th verse, mogha shamogha karmanaha mogha jnana vichetasaha rakshasi masurim chaiva prakritim mohinim shritaha. See, mogha means waste. The word mogha is repeated. Mogha means waste. Literally, So here Mogha Ashaha means people, Asha means desire. Mogha means waste. But Mogha Ashaha means, we mean the people. People of vain desires. Meaningless desires. Useless desires. Mogha Ashaha. People of vain hopes. Vain desires. And who are these people? Krishna says, Vichetasaha. Vi is a prefix here. Chetas means mind. But here Vichetas means the person who is of indiscriminate mind. Chetas means mind. But here we do not talk about the mind. Vichetas means the person who is of indiscriminate mind is called Vichetas. In plural we say Vichetasaha. Vichetasaha means people who do not think properly. It means people who are indiscriminate. People who are indiscriminate. Who are deluded, who are confused. Vichetasaha, the indiscriminate minded. The indiscriminate people. Or Mogha Ashaha. Or the people of vain hopes. The indiscriminate people, the indiscriminate minded are the people of vain desires, people of vain hopes. And not only that, Mogha Karmanaha. This indiscriminate minded are the people of, because vain hopes, vain desires, therefore there are also people of vain actions. Mogha Karmanaha. They are of vain pursuits. And Mogha Jnanaha. The same indiscriminate minded are the people of vain knowledge. Mogha Jnanaha means the person whose knowledge is vain, the person whose desire is vain, the person whose effort is vain is Mogha, Mogashaha, Mogha Karma, then Mogha Jnanaha. In plural, Mogashaha, Mogha Karmanaha, Mogha Jnanaha. Not Moha. Please be careful, Tamil people. Mohaha is different. Delusion. But here Mogha. So Mogashaha, Mogha Karmanaha, Mogha Jnanaha. So people of vain knowledge, people of vain efforts, vain activities, people of vain hopes and desires. Who are these people? Indiscriminate minded. Vichetasaha. There's no discrimination. Therefore, whatever they, being indiscriminate minded, not having clarity, being confused, then what they entertain, the desires they entertain are vain desires. And their activities, their pursuits, their efforts they make impelled by those vain desires are also vain pursuits. And the understanding also is of vain understanding. Therefore, the indiscriminate minded are of vain hopes, vain efforts, and vain knowledge. Vichetasaha, Moghashaha, Mogha Karmanaha, Mogha Jnanaha. And such people, what do they do? Shritaha. Shritaha means those people, such people, take to Rakshasim, Asurim, Rakshasim, Asurim, Mohinim, Prakritim, Shritaha. they take to Rakshasim, Asurim, Mohinim, Prakritim. They take to Rajasic or Tamasic, Rakshasim, Asurim. Asurim means Tamasic. Rakshasim means Rajasic. Rakshasim, Rajasic, Asurim or Tamasic. Prakritim Shta, they take to that nature and which is highly deluding. Mohinim, they take to Rajasic or Tamasic or deluding. Nature. Mohini means deluding. Why Mohini? Mohayati iti Mohini. The Mohini, why Mohini? It's because the word Prakritihi is a feminine gender word. So, Kidrishim Prakritim Shitaha. Such people take to which nature? Don't worry, I'll explain a lot of this verse. If Prakritihi is a feminine gender word. Therefore, those people take to this Prakriti, take to this nature. And what is nature? Rakshasi Prakritihi means Rajasic nature. Asuri Prakritihi means Tamasic nature. They either they take to Rajasic nature or Tamasic nature. And both these are what? Deluding nature. Therefore, Mohini Prakritihi means deluding nature. Rajasic nature, Tamasic nature, actually deluding. They take to that deluding Rajasic or Tamasic nature. So they take to Rajasic, deluding Tamasic or Rajasic nature means who? Which are indiscriminate minded. Thereby who are Moghashaha, Mogakarmanaha, Mogajnanaha. They take to this Rajasic or Tamasic deluding nature. What does it mean? I have to explain this. See, Bhagavan indirectly presented the cause of samsara in the 11th verse. Not knowing Bhagavan's para prakriti, essential nature, is the cause of samsara. It was said, made very clear. Ma parambha majanantaha mudaha. He said that in the previous verse. Now, from this verse, it is 12th verse, the indiscriminate minded, he said, that who is vichetas, single, vichetasaha plural. The indiscriminate minded mean actually the person who lacks the discriminative understanding of what is real, what is not real. What is absolutely real, what is empirically real. What is satyam, what is mithya. What is Bhagavan's higher nature, what Bhagavan's lower nature. The people who do not have this discriminative understanding or indiscriminate minded. And such people, being indiscriminate, being confused, deluded. So they, when they disease, whatever disease they entertain, they implement the disease in action, or understanding they have, all that is vain. Mogha asha, moghashaha, mogha karmanaha, mogha jnanaha. Because they indiscriminate minded. So now, for Bhagavan, from this verse, this 12th verse onwards until the 19th verse, Bhagavan is discussing on the people of different problems and who have their own approach to different problems. People of different types and who have their own different approach to different problems. Bhagavan is discussing from this 12th verse to the 19th verse. So first he talks about indiscriminate minded and whose hopes are vain, in waste, whose efforts are in vain, and whose understanding also is vain understanding. And they take to rajasic, tamasic, deluding nature. Which means, see, an intelligent doctor will treat the patient with appropriate medicine. He has diagnosed the problem. The illness is not at all diagnosed properly. How can he give the appropriate medicine? The patient's disease must be diagnosed first. And the diagnosis is based on the symptoms, based on the reports, the experiment reports, and based on the test reports, and based on his diagnosis, based on the symptoms, the intelligent doctor must diagnose the problem of the patient first, then his prescription of medicine will be appropriate. This intelligent doctor, without having diagnosed what exactly the problem of the patient is, he can't simply give some medicine to any patient. But different patients come with different problems and all of them are diagnosed and he gives appropriate medicine to the appropriate patient in keeping with his problem. So here also, the same way, an intelligent human being in person definitely will see the problem correctly, which means the intelligent people are those who have diagnosed this human problem. What is this problem here? There is a problem of samsaraha. Those who diagnose this problem being there in life and they have some understanding. They have proper direction. So they do not depend upon emotionally and anything else, they intelligently shift their dependence, emotional dependence from the world to Bhagavan for their happiness and security. The intelligent, discriminate people are those people who have diagnosed their problem of samsara, and to free themselves from this problem of samsara, bondage of samsara, and they shift their dependence from emotional dependence from the world to Bhagavan for their happiness and security. If we do not diagnose this problem of samsara properly, we do not know what this problem is, then shifting the dependence from the world to Bhagavan is very difficult. It's not possible. What am I depending on in this life for my happiness and security? Am I depending on relationships, families, friends, or artha, kama, dharma? What am I depending on for my happiness and security? We can have affection, care, concern for all the people around, our relatives and friends and family, of course. We can have great concern for all of them, but we can't afford to have attachment. We can't afford to be attached means it is not appropriate to be dependent on them for our happiness and security. So Bhagwan in this part, from this verse number 12 to the 19th verse, in all these verses, Bhagwan is going to discuss the people of different types and who have not diagnosed this problem of samsara, which means who do not have purushartha nischayaha. People who have not diagnosed the problem are the people who do not have purushartha nischayaha. If you have not diagnosed the problem, is of course there is no purushartha nischaya. There cannot be a knowledge of the value of knowledge. It is not possible to commit oneself to the pursuit of knowledge. Therefore, one cannot even know the value of dharma. Though there is no need for such a person to commit oneself to live a life of dharma. Therefore, the very thinking itself will be based on the lack of discriminative understanding. What am I living this life for is not very clear. Because samsara has not been understood. The problem has not been analyzed, understood. They have diagnosed the problem. Therefore, naturally, they're still thinking will be incorrect. So such people, they cannot even learn from their own experience, their own lives. Pariksha lokan karma chitan, we saw that a person will be intelligent to learn from one's life's experiences. And they're intelligent enough to learn from their own life experiences. Artha kama dharmas become the ultimate ends. And it's totally dependent on, emotionally they don't depend on this world and people and situations and the accomplishments for their happiness and security. And such people, what happens to them? They will continue to remain samsara. We saw in Mundaka also. So Bhagwan is going to talk about those people until the 19th verse. We'll see in the next class how important it is for us to understand that there is samsaraha. Diagnosing this problem of samsara being there is very, 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 very important to have purushartha nischaya. Okay, so we'll continue next class. I'll be more fresh next class. Okay, I'll be definitely fresh. I would have got over my jet lag by then.
Namaskar, Swamiji.
Ajay, you had something. You texted me something. Would you please voice it again? Others also can listen.
Swamiji, basically, it was just something came to my mind and just typed it out, actually. I'm not actually looking for a comment on that, to be honest. But do you still want me to?
No. I do appreciate it. That's how, see, when you observe, you do arrive at that.
Right.
I was happy, pleased that you do arrive at it.
Right. So Swamiji, do you want me to say it loud?
Yeah.
Like repeat? Okay. So basically, what came to me yesterday was, like, everything, any question, anything to do with any sort of questions related, like, in the imperial reality, it just comes out of the sense of separation and basically a doership which comes associates with it. So once the doership is not there, where is the question? There is no question arising about anything or everything, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, that's what I said. That's good. You are thinking about it. That's why I said, just to, okay, voiced out. That's good.
Okay.
That needs sort of, that's called objectification. So it's objectification. It's a type of seeing again repeatedly is a sort of meditation where you're trying to objectify things. Which means, objectify means you're internalizing. And in non-internalizing, objectifying, you see, you understand the fact of separation, isn't it? How this isolation, how you isolate yourself, how you separate yourself.
Absolutely.
Essentially, you must see that being the distinctness should be understood. At the same time, the physical inseparability also should be understood. Isn't it? The whole teaching is for that. Whole teaching is ultimately to distinguish, to understand, and at the same time, how to resolve all the differences cognitively.
Absolutely.
Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi.
Swamiji, I think Vijaya was asking a question.
Yeah.
Hello, Swamiji.
Oh, yes, Vijaya.
You can hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I had one question. Today's session.
Yeah.
You said Bhagwan is not responsible for anything.
Yes.
It is our karmas which can cause suffering or can give good results to us. But the prayers are important. Praying Bhagwan is important. So my question was how does they help us? That's the first question. And second question is, a person who is doing adharma, but he is praying the God. His prayers are different from a person who is always doing dharma.
Okay.
How do they help both of them?
See, all these questions should come. That is why this chapter itself is presented here. See, the first of all, what was made clear was the concept, when you say Bhagawan is of these two prakritis, kind of Bhagawan, understanding of these prakritis will free us from bondage means understanding of Bhagawan's para prakritihi is actually seeing, understanding what Bhagawan is essentially, not in any form. That will free us from bondage. But why then problems are there in life? It is not because Bhagawan created the universe, but Bhagawan has created human beings. Bhagawan has created the problems also. And Bhagawan is happy seeing us suffering. That's not true, isn't it? So the whole understanding is then why they're suffering then? If Bhagawan has not created the universe, there's no creation at all, then why they're suffering? Suffering also is there in the world. The suffering is purely because of the lack of understanding. The suffering is samsara. So that's because of karma phalam, part of the karma phalam. So there is karma phalam is there. Therefore suffering is there. And for Karampalam also is because of Kartrutvam. Kartrutvam because of Ajnanam. Therefore, once ignorance is resolved, then there's freedom. So ignorance has to be resolved. That is the final thing. So the problem of samsara is understood, okay, jnanam, pursuit of jnanam must become the ultimate goal. Then, once that goal is very clear, problem is diagnosed, samsara is because of ajnanam. This is my problem. To resolve this problem, I have to have jnanam as the only means. It is fact understood, then you are in the right direction. Then you make efforts to understand the truth. Then there's no more, Bhagavan is not blamed, nobody is blamed for anything. And you live your life for how to live your life, how I should live my life, not to accomplish this end, for the Shastra teaches you how one should live your life. Everything is taught. And then there's no question of dharma and adharma, because the person who, the right action, then one Shastra helps you. Why we should do the dharma, right? Why you should be righteous? Why we should not be non-righteous? Why you should follow dharma? Not following dharma, what will be the consequence of not following dharma? What will be the consequence effect of following dharma? Why we should follow dharma? Etc. Everything understand when you are given to study of this Shastra. So when jnanam becomes the ultimate goal, to resolve my problem of samsara, because I have diagnosed my problem of samsara, to free myself from that bondage, jnanam is the only solution, and for which I had to prepare my mind. To prepare my mind, even the Shastram is there as the means of knowledge of the truth to sort out my problem. And the mental preparation is very important, for which also Shastram teaches the way of life, to live a life of dharma. There's no way. Live the dharma is important to prepare my mind for this jnana. So knowing the value of dharma, you live a life of dharma also. Then what other person does, whether other person follows dharma, does not follow dharma, that is his problem, isn't it? If he doesn't follow dharma, he has to pay for it. If he follows dharma, he will enjoy the benefit of it, definitely. That's not the problem. Why I go through suffering? That is my problem. So my basically, not because of others are doing dharma, dharma. I told you in the very beginning, there's an order involved here. Our association, relationship, our connections with the people, things, even with the pets, okay, to go through some pains and pleasures is all with the realm of the order, only in keeping with the punya papas. Adrishtama, in the very beginning of the class, I started like that. Do you remember? That connection is there. So, what I want to say here, what others are doing is not a problem. Again, it's all lack of understanding. Once you know, once you have proper purushartha nischaya, know the value of the knowledge of the truth, or you understand, and then you know the way of life, then you know the value of dharma, then you just follow dharma, you should take care of yourself. What others are doing is not taken into account. And you understand Ishvara is the very order. Therefore, you bow to Ishvara in the name of dharma. Therefore, you surrender will to Bhagavan. Of dharma, so you follow dharma because you know the value of dharma. But here, prayer and worship, why prayer again? Again, once you know the law of karma, you understand. So prayer as a will involved action is important to neutralize. In fact, when you need, as I said, how I should live my life. I should follow dharma means repeatedly I should remind myself of how I should live my life, which itself is a prayer. It's a will involved auto-suggestion. So you seek, oh Lord, please give, bless me with the strength to live a life of dharma. Means what? You are reminding yourself repeatedly that you must live a life of dharma because you know the value of dharma. This prayer is important. That is why understanding the efficacy of prayer will help you. No, pray. Because then you will pray, your prayer will be more intensive, more ardent. The intense, ardent, fervent will be your prayer if you understand its efficacy of prayer. And also, the worship again is also for expansion of your mind. for having reverence for everything in the world. You don't take anything for granted, which means there is reverence for everything in the world. Naturally, when you're grateful to Bhagavan in the form of order and the form of everything, that also will bless you with prosperity. So understanding the significance of worship, efficacy of prayer, the concept of God, value of values, you live your life, then you are in the right direction. The whole thing will bless you, will take you in the right path.
Okay, thank you, Samiriji.
Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.